The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Friday. It's Tuesday. Tuesday, October 6th. Sorry. Wish it was Friday. Wouldn't that be nice? We just wrapped
up. These games would have been played on Thursday. This is, Brinson, you've already thrown everything off.
Yeah, Breach, I screwed it up. You know, I think it was the timing. Usually we, on a Thursday, we're a little more like, everything's done for the week for the most part. We're relaxed. We'll start recording a little bit later, aloof. And so it's 12:30 when we're recording this. We had a double header on Monday night. We're going to break down both the Patriots and Chiefs matchup as well as the Atlanta Falcons and Green Bay Packers matchup. Both games were equally delightful. I would say that, you know, the ESPN game just as delightful as the CBS game in this particular instance. You know what? I'd love to see the numbers on what happens when you play Monday Night Football at 7 p.m. As a middle-aged father who has to podcast after the game, my goodness, that game was over at 9:30. Can you imagine being done at 9:30 p.m. Eastern?
Imagine Ryan? Being on the West Coast. It's 4 o'clock. The game starts. I mean, I would move to California just for that.
Do you guys remember back in the day when Monday Night Football started at like 9:15?
I was thinking about that as this second game started at 9 o'clock.
But weren't weren't we like college age when that happened?
I wasn't.
You were too young, or you were too old.
Yeah.
Right. You had already migrated to your mid 40s or whatever.
I had already had my first hair.
Whatever world you live in. Let's get to the first game first. Not because it was a CBS game, or because it was the better game. Patriots Chiefs. Look, neither game ended up being within 10 points, and that's unfortunate because it could have kept a wild weekend. Chiefs 26, Patriots 10. Cam Newton didn't play in this game, and it mattered for the Patriots.
Neither did Brian Hoyer.
Brian Hoyer cost the Patriots at minimum 6 points in this game, probably a cover for those scoring at home.
He might have cost him the win.
I definitely agreed that a shot at the win, but he definitely cost him a cover. They get 6 points if he doesn't fumble in the red zone and botch that thing at the end of the first half. The Chiefs are now 4-0. Well, what's the stat on the Chiefs?
First team to ever start four seasons in a row at 4-0, and also the first team in NFL history to win back-to-back games on Monday night.
Oh, wow.
That was my fun fact for the day.
That's just because it doesn't happen that often, I would guess. Is that right?
Look,
that was the fourth time in NFL history teams played on back-to-back Mondays.
Look at Breach.
Here, I think there's two interesting dynamics about this. So I'll ask you guys, what do you think is more important about Chiefs and Patriots? Is it more important that Bill Belichick managed to coax the worst game out of Patrick Mahomes of his starting career? Or is it more important that the Patriots almost beat Patrick Mahomes without Cam Newton? Or is there a different angle that I'm missing?
They didn't almost beat. They lost by 16 points because the quarterback.
Maybe that's the angle. He played the worst game of his career and they still won by 16.
Yeah. Now, if Cam Newton's there, we're having a different conversation. But here's the deal. And, you know, I suspect this is the whole idea for the Patriots going in. They ran up and down the field on the Chiefs. And presumably the Chiefs knew that Brian Hoyer and or Jared Stidham wasn't going to be throwing the ball all over him. So Damien Harris had 17 carries for 100 yards. Rex Burke had it 11 for 45. So it wasn't like Brian Hoyer and Stidham had an opportunity to just wing it around and beat them that way. They were getting shredded in the run game. But yeah, to your point, And there's a stat. I should have probably brought it up before, but about how historically Patrick Mahomes does not play well against Patriots defense. The Chiefs have gone without a touchdown in the opening half for only the third time in the Mahomes era. The two other times, week six, 2018 loss to the Pats, and the 2018 championship, AFC championship loss to the Patriots. So there's history there. And yeah, big surprise. Bill Belichick's really good at coordinating up defenses. But again, this points to, they got unlucky with Cam Newton and the COVID thing. But it does make you wonder, why was there no plan post Tom Brady until everyone said we're all out on Canley? Because there was conversations we were having this summer about, yeah, they're going to roll Jared Stidham. They'll be fine. Everyone's.
Well, it's a great point. Because if this is the Pats week in, week out for this year, wow. Tom Brady is doing a little hula dance down in Tampa right now on everybody's face. Stidham came in relief of Brian Hoyer. He looked alternately pretty good and pretty terrible.
Yeah, I mean, he might have been fine. If this was his fourth start, he might be fine. But yeah, you throw him out there stone cold under the pressure of like, okay, you can't go out there and just do exactly what Brian Hoyer did, act like a maniac. He's never played football before. And he threw an interception in the end zone on the first drive. That was a penalty. So that came back. But yeah, there's some questionable plays. I will say this, the visual of the night for me is that a week after folding his mask in half, Bill Belichick wore two masks.
Yeah. And by the way, I thought what the Patriots did on defense is at least there's no blueprint for beating the Chiefs because you got to get lucky. They dropped two easy interceptions mm-hmm. of Patrick Mahomes, and that saved his stat line. But I do think that the Patriots, they played a ton of zone. They wanted guys facing Patrick Mahomes at all times. They eased back from the line of scrimmage and let the Patriots run a little bit. And then, you know, they weren't giving them free runs. They didn't want to get beat deep. And they ran the ball effectively. That's the blueprint for beating the Chiefs. I will say that I think both the Steelers and the Colts can operate in that fashion with the defenses they have and the running games and the offenses that they have, veteran quarterbacks who could potentially, you know, engineer long drives, and the Patriots might fit the bill too. So while the Chiefs are awesome and we crown them the greatest team in the history of football after last week's Monday Night Football breach, I do think you can at least see a crack in the armor here in terms of how you might defend the Chiefs. Am I crazy?
I think you are a little crazy. Okay. Because I think we talk about, well, no, I half agree with you and half don't. And I'm going to go back to your very first question about what I thought the angle was here. And I actually do think it was, if I'm the Patriots, I'm saying I was in this game. If Cam Newton's our quarterback, we probably win
the game. Yeah.
And so you throw out Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham, and you probably would have won this game if Brian Hoyer didn't make two absolutely boneheaded plays. I'm not going to hold anything against Jarrett Stidham. I thought he played fantastic. He came out, let him on a touchdown drive, his first possession in the game. Then he threw the pick six, but that was because Julian Edelman dropped the throw, bobbled it. So it was completely on Edelman. And at that point, you're down 26-10 with 6 minutes left and you're just slinging the ball. So that last interception was just them trying to get down the field, and he got him down the field in the Chiefs territory. So I actually thought Stidham played really well. But as far as like, the Patriots kind of being showing off the weakness, given the blueprint to beat the Chiefs, the reason I don't think that is because I just think the Patriots themselves are kind of the kryptonite. I think Belichick has been the one guy who can design the game plan, because saying, hey, we can stop Mahomes and run the ball is much easier said than done. Belichick's done a great job of putting his defensive players in the correct spots and kind of scheming up to slow down Mahomes. Like, they don't get anything deep. He's just making Mahomes be patient. And, you know, Mahomes is back there like, oh, I want to throw some bombs. And you could tell he was getting a little bit frustrated and he would scramble here and there. And so I think it's a game plan that not many teams besides the Patriots can pull off. I think one of the stats was that at halftime, Mahomes didn't have any touchdowns. The Chiefs had zero touchdowns in the first half. That's only happened three times since Mahomes became the starter, all three games against the Patriots. So it's
wow,
like,
that's funny you say that. I just literally said that 3 minutes ago.
Brinson, it was like 6 minutes ago, but yes.
Oh my God.
And that plays into this entire point after Brinson made the point, and I am regurgitating it.
What
thank you
what a great
for using Breach, it in the proper spot.
Breach loves doing that. He's like, I'm just
reemphasizing your point. I didn't realize it happened until you told me that you made that point.
Wilson made the point, and then Brinson asked a question that Wilson's point applied to, and so I was bringing it up afterward.
Literally the first thing I asked was the question you just said.
I know. And I actually said I should have looked this up because I bookmarked it. I went to the bookmarks and read the tweet that you ignored. I will point out this to sort of follow up on and Breach, you can steal this in a couple of minutes after I say it. But Brinson, you mentioned this about F team sort of the Patriots sort of figured out. And the thing is, like, we've seen this year, like, the Chargers figured it out, but they have Ingram and Bosa, and they played them pretty well, and Mahomes didn't look great. The Ravens didn't figure out anything, and they have Lamar Jackson and a really good defense. The Patriots seem to show some signs of they lost. But then you go back even to last season. The 49ers figured it out. They lost in the Super Bowl. The Titans lost two weeks before in the AFC Championship game. So there's a history of teams figuring it out. But one's actually gotten over the hump of actually winning the football game.
NC State's playing UVA, so I ended up talking with Chris Long, friend of the program, about this. But, like, the problem is you need certain qualifications of your football team to beat the Chiefs, right? And then on top of that, you still have to withstand a Mahomes, like, onslaught of scoring. And it's just, I think you just have to get lucky and you have to hope that you, let me ask you this. Do the Patriots win this game if they make the two? And look, the interception should have happened. Was it J.C. Jackson and Devin McCourty?
They were arm hunts.
Freebies.
Yeah.
Bad throws by Mahomes. Free interceptions, and the Patriots dropped them both. You don't see Patriots players do that often. I guess I'm wondering, if they get 6 points from those Brian Hoyer drives and get those two interceptions, do the Patriots win this game?
Do they also get the turnover that the refs hose them on?
The Patriots got as Patrick Mahomes played the worst game he's ever played as a starter, and the Patriots got every bad break, and they still lost by six. They only lost by 16.
We give Bill Belichick credit for everything. Instead of whinging about throw the flag, what are you doing?
He couldn't. It was a forward progress. You can't challenge forward progress.
And that's what he called forward progress?
The ref said he ruled Mahomes had his progress. And it was ridiculous. The refs do this all the time. They cover their ass by trying to Mahomes' progress had stopped. I was like, what are you talking about?
But the whistle didn't blow until the ball was already gone. That was the problem because they had to
Why blow the whistle
times.
At all?
As angry as you'll see Belichick.
He pulled his mask down. I don't know if he's in trouble for that.
You know, his face was his face is red.
John Harbaugh got in trouble for it a few weeks ago.
Did he
pull his mask down to yell? I don't know if he got fined, but now.
I think Belichick's double mask thing was because when he had the little bird, he had the bird mask.
Yeah.
He was constantly adjusting it and it would just end up being down. He didn't realize it. So he put the regular mask on. He knew he would mess with the gator on top of it. Or maybe he's worried about his own health.
Maybe he got sued by a family of birds. What do you know about bird law, Brinson?
Or maybe
wear a bird mask.
Maybe he didn't want to wear the bird mask because he wasn't playing a team that was whose mascot was a bird, Breach.
That's possible too. I like that theory even better. But Hoyer's sack
at the end
of the first half.
I should point out everyone should wear a mask.
There it is. Go ahead, Breach.
Hoyer's sack.
On the Apple Podcast complained about me saying people should wear a mask. Wear a mask, people.
All right, Breach wasn't here for that. We were talking. Brinson got us a 1-star review because he keeps pushing masks.
I don't want to hear about mask. If I want to hear about mask, I'll go.
You can say it once per podcast.
Fun fact, John Breach actually has a 4-part podcast series that he did of an oral history of Jim Carrey's The Mask, the movie. And you should check that out on Apple Podcast.
I don't, but I might now. I might consider that. Debo, can you produce? I'm sure he can. He doesn't have anything else on his plate right now.
Yeah. Debo, how's the All Things Covered going?
Better than this one? No, I'm just kidding.
Play the music.
B-Mac. B-Mac, great guy to work with. Friend of the podcast. We got to get him back on. It's been a little while since we had B-Mac, but
just trying to give it a
You guys are very different. In nature, but go download, subscribe.
He's a professional athlete, former professional.
He has Super Bowl rings. Brinson does.
Guessing he's a little more motivated and regimented than me.
B-Mac and I have 2-hour production calls on the day of episodes, just like this podcast.
Wow. Interesting.
Do you this like actual this podcast is Brenton's 2-hour production call because he just wings it, but we're also on for 2 hours.
30 minutes before, 30 minutes after.
Basically the same thing.
You do
real quick on the Hoyer thing is that all I was going to say is that the Patriots got inside the Chiefs 10-yard line twice in this game and came away with 0 points because of these boneheaded plays by Hoyer. So it's not like, you know, the end of the half.
Hoyer made some nice throws, by the way.
Like three nice throws.
Yeah, let's settle down on that.
He's an aging veteran going up against the best team in football in the worst possible situation and made some nice throws.
He's literally on the team because he's a veteran who's supposed to know the system, right. And he tried to use a fourth timeout right before halftime. Like, you can't count the three. You literally don't know how many timeouts you have when you're about to call this play and you take this sack. I mean, that's insane. It should have been 6-6 at halftime.
By the way, Breach, let's remember this, and Debo, don't let's forget, because this might be a worse take than Trent Williams, comeback player of the year, and Garrett Bradbury, rookie of the year.
He had some nice throws.
He had some good throws in the game where he called the fourth timeout in the first half.
I was thinking about that when that happened. It's like, can you imagine you're Brian Hoyer in that spot, and you're there to be the veteran to make the smart decisions, not to do stupid stuff, and you take the sack, and you come up to call a timeout, and you're looking around, and nobody's acknowledging the timeout, and you're just on the field mashing your hands together like this in a T, and all of a sudden you look up and it's halftime and you realize that Belichick and McDaniels are like slamming clipboards on the sideline and irate, and you have to go like make eye contact with Bill Belichick after that. It's wow. That is the that's like getting a DUI in high school and having your mom pick you up at jail.
If you're Brian Hoyer in that circumstance, you stand up, realize what happened to you. You know, like Derek Jeter when he did his farewell tour, or Cal Ripken, and you get the curtain call and you just come out and you wave, you turn around, do a 360. You do that and you go in the opposite tunnel and just keep walking. Like, you don't even go back.
Who has my phone? I need the Kayak app and I need to book a flight tomorrow.
Right, Kayak.
Get me out of here. The people you still use.
I'm out. I don't know if they do.
Well, it's been real, Bill. Josh, thanks for your time. I'll see you later. Jared, the gloves are yours, my friend.
Peace out.
Even though Brian Hoyer's three good throws, didn't really have a legit game. You know who did have a legit game for the Patriots? Damian Harris.
I think he called a 2-rushing touchdown game for him on the HQ show before the thing. That wasn't right, but 17 carries for 100 yards, pretty good.
Right idea, though.
Yeah, big deal. I said Nick Mullins going to throw 3 touchdowns last night.
I think Harris is going to be the guy, although I will say early on, he didn't have any burst or like vision to the outside. He was just getting the ball and running into the offensive lineman. Finally, he started to sort of move and get more comfortable. It was his first game off IR. I mean,
right.
That's sort of the spot they were in. Damir Bird had a good game, 5 catches, 10 targets, 80 yards.
Julian Edelman did not.
Oh, Edelman hadn't. That's the worst game out of Edelman's career.
Ever. I mean, that was horrible.
Tony Romo made an interesting point, one that I didn't think of. He's like, okay, he always catches. Well, actually, Edelman has these random drops, but you shouldn't drop a ball in the flat and have it be pick sixed the other way. But Romo's point was, yeah, he ran a little out route there into the flat, but he was covered, so he probably didn't expect to get the ball. And then he sees the ball fizzed at him, and he's like, oh, crap, I have to catch this thing. And it just went through his hands. And Was it Tyron Matthew?
Yeah, Honey Badger on him too, right?
Oh yeah, he did it. He made a great play and then went to the end zone. Way to go,
Tyron Matthew.
Really down to pat.
Breach, we got a 5.
I thought we were going to open the podcast with that clip, so I was actually glad that we waited 25 minutes for it.
We got a 5-star review, Breach, that just says Tyron Matthew.
Well, I had asked Debo to pull a clip of Nance and Romo with the call, and then we're going to edit in
Tyron Matthew
as like part of the call. And Debo's like, I have a production meeting with Brian.
Debo's like, I got to do real
thanks,
work.
Debo.
Yeah. So you get bailed out.
Dabo. That's Dabo to you, not Debo.
Dabo Swooney.
Go check out Breach's newsletter.
That's a good point. Breach's newsletter. Have you written the newsletter for tomorrow?
I have not.
Do you write it in the mornings? It comes out in the afternoon. It's actually the perfect time to take in all the football news.
All the football news. That is, sign up for the newsletter.
All right, let me ask you this. Are you going to lead with, because I think you lead with this, because it's the Pick Six newsletter. Are you going to lead with this episode or the Bill O'Brien firing episode?
Bill O'Brien getting fired. I feel like that's a pretty big deal.
I think it's a bigger deal. I did I wrote Sorting the Sunday Pile, and I wrote like 1,500 words.
You had to do a rewrite. That's what we call it in the business.
Yeah, on the Texans Vikings game. and then had to spin it into, I ended up spinning into a 2,300 word synopsis of the whole Bill O'Brien thing. And then like, what's next? Felt good to write again. I hadn't written in a while.
Felt good to write again.
Yeah. Does she have creative emotions out going? It's digging through old Ryan Wilson stories.
You should start a journal. You could write every day.
No, that'd be like a newsletter. Who wants to do that?
Yeah, that's.
I'm trying to think what the article was when Brian Gain was fired.
I wrote that.
I think so. You either wrote that or the. It, well, actually, it's kind of. I think you. No. Maybe. Let's see. Did you write it? No, Breach wrote Brian Gain fired. Oh, this executive Texans, Ryan Wilson. That's what the title, I think. Nah.
Was it a Breach headline? My goodness.
Felt Breachy in. No, Breach was writing about Nick Caserio for that one. You wrote, what did you write about? But in your, like, I was reading it. It was crazy because you're like, and by the way, there's this like chaplain hanging around the scene named Jack Easterby.
Oh, he's like,
because nobody knew. He's just like the Patriots preacher. And now all of a sudden he's running the freaking Texans.
It's an interesting ascent for Mr. Easterby.
It is indeed.
Okay. Are the Bills winning the division?
I wouldn't give it to him yet. So, I mean, the Patriots and Bills still have to play twice.
The Bills have a two-game lead in the AFC East for the first time since 1995.
I didn't say that fact yet, so good job on that.
I want to use the fact that Ryan hadn't used yet. That was my goal for this podcast.
If the Bills had played the Patriots schedule and the Patriots had played the Bills schedule, what would be the current AFC standings?
I don't know. I can't remember who the Bills played. But
well, the Patriots have played the Seahawks and the Chiefs. And the Bills have it.
The Patriots either 4-0 or 3-1.
Right.
The Rams probably could have maybe given them trouble. But I think that...
The Bills are probably 2-2 if they have the Seahawks and the Chiefs on their schedule to begin.
Yeah, that seems right. What happens next week when... I'm assuming Cam can't play next week, or can he? What's the rules on that?
It's Denver.
Who are you rolling with? Is it Jarrett Stidham? Is it Brian Hoyer? I mean...
So presumably Cam's first positive test was at the very earliest Friday. Right?
I don't remember the...
Well, the news broke Saturday at like 11 a.m.
You're driving up to Connecticut. That's right.
I was supposed to take my son to a playground, and then I was like, sorry, honey.
The Robbie to-do list when people call you to work. Playground. Pool.
I do lots of stuff with my son. Sorry, I care about my family. Don't spend the weekend away from them.
That's on the list too.
Chugging beer and
that excuse
whatever
on
else
the list
you do in a hotel room. Anyway, I would assume that Cam Newton, if his first positive test was Friday or Saturday, there's no way he's playing next Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, that puts it at 7, 8, or 9 days, something like that. And that seems...
That's not happening. Only a lunatic would put himself around other people. The NFL wouldn't let that. They have reasonable restrictions.
Yeah, especially with the Patriots having a bye in week 6. Like, I would be absolutely...
He's not playing
against the Broncos. Then you have plenty of time to make sure he's good to go. And you should theoretically be able to beat the Broncos without Cam. I think.
Maybe.
So I think Breach is right. I think that the Patriots should win that game because who's the quarterback for Denver now? You go back to Driscoll, you still roll with Brett Rippon. I mean,
and if it's Brett Rippon, Patrick Mahomes had trouble against the Belichick defense. What do you think is going to happen to Brett Rippon?
I mean, first and second year quarterbacks under the age of 25 have historically gotten obliterated by Bill
Belichick. Obliterated.
Brett Rippon he's in trouble. Brett Rippon's in trouble against the Jets.
The Broncos should trade a first round pick for Brian Hoyer. He's over 25. He knows the offense.
Who starts crazy. The Broncos, Stidham or Hoyer?
That's
Wait,
the question.
What?
Who starts?
Who starts?
I feel like Stidham after Hoyer just boneheaded his way and cost him a win.
I think you roll Stidham too. He was supposed to be your guy from, you know, April, May, and June.
Stidham
gives you the most upside. I think going against Denver that they will go with Hoyer and try and
have a good defense and smarter quarterback. Our more experienced quarterback.
Hey, Brian, if you make those mistakes again, I will throw you in my pit of shark lava. Okay. So
Brian's response will be, I wasn't trying to make those mistakes the first time. I will almost certainly make them again because I am who I am.
And his response will also be, if I make those mistakes, Patrick Mahomes isn't out there to make me pay. It's Brett Rippon. They're not going to score any points. I'll fumble it 5 times, coach. It doesn't matter. We're playing the Broncos.
If he says that instead of starting, I think it's Hoyer. I think they should start Stidham. I wouldn't be surprised if they start Stidham. my guess would be it's Hoyer, because I think it's like, let's minimize the mistakes we make and make Brett Rypien make mistakes and go win this game easily and then get to our week six bye and readjust at 3-2. We shall see. As for the Chiefs, they are 4-0. Very good shape. May have already clinched the division.
Yeah, that division didn't turn out to be as good as I was thinking.
Sure did.
My Denver Broncos playoff pick is, I don't think that's going to work out.
It is on life support, Ryan. It is on life support.
Has Aaron Rodgers leapfrogged
no.
Josh Allen and Russell Wilson for the MVP award? We'll tell you after the break.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code Odyssey and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
So the Packers won 30-16 over the Falcons. The Falcons did not cover, did not come close to covering. And you know what? The Falcons are terrible. I don't know why it took this for me to realize that. But the team that said they were, do you guys remember what they said they were trotting out 11 first-round picks?
They had five in the first. They had five in the offensive line. That was a talking point when the game started.
Do you know who their leading receiver was on Monday night in a must-win game against the Green Bay Packers?
Not a first-round pick.
I will tell you this. It was not Calvin Ridley. He was on my fantasy team and ended the night with 0 points.
And it was not Julio Jones, because he was on my fantasy team and he was out of the game by halftime.
It was not Laquon Treadwell, because he's not on the team. In fact, it was Olamide Zacharias, former UVA who.
You're so close. You got the first name. You got the last name wrong.
Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus. There you go.
Zacchaeus. Didn't have an R in there. Sorry. My bad.
Either way, he won the night for the Falcons, even though they lost.
I actually had the last name down before the podcast. I was Googling the first name to make sure I got it right. Hayden Hurst, their was a first-round pick. Their number two receiver, Julio Jones, 4 catches, 32 yards. He left. He was out in the second half for a hamstring. You would love to look and see what Calvin Ridley's receiving total was, but he had 5 targets, 0 catches, 0 yards. Unbelievable. Matt Ryan, 28 of 39 for 285 yards. The Falcons force-fed Todd Gurley the ball. He didn't run very well except in the red zone. He had 2 touchdowns.
I thought Todd Gurley actually ran hard. Like, he was running for his life in a lot of instances, but I was, you know, because
he looks older, slower, and thicker.
I don't disagree with that.
He looks like someone with an arthritic knee.
No, he didn't look like that. I mean, if Brian Hoyer had 3 good passes, Todd Gurley had at least 3 good runs.
Reach, what do you think he looked like?
I think that, well, first, Brinson, I'm going to tie in the Calvin Ridley with Brinson saying the Falcons didn't come close to covering, because they did come close to covering. Oh, yeah. Calvin Ridley did not drop a potential touchdown pass in the end zone.
That potential touchdown pass was actually broken up because the ball was thrown behind him.
Adrian Amos put his hand on it, and Ridley had it in both his hands. If he would have just held on to it, strong-armed it, you have 2 hands on the ball, you should be able to overpower one guy having his fingers on the ball.
Also, what do you think the potential was for Dan Quinn going for 2 down 14? Because the line closed at Packers -6 after Devontae Adams was ruled out.
If he goes by the analytic book, then he would have gone for 2. So
he kicked him. He went on it. They ran a 20 play, 94-yard, 10-minute and 30-second drive that ended in a field goal.
Started at their own one.
How the F does that happen? They went for fourth down twice.
Not started where? On their own 1 yard line.
Unbelievable.
I don't get it because they converted a fourth and three. They converted a fourth and two. Why do you decide after a 94-yard drive that you can't do a fourth and goal from the 5-yard line? And the thing is, I feel like that was kind of the backbreaker in the game for the Falcons because they came out and fell flat on their face offensively. They went three and out on both of their first possessions, and the Packers marched up and down the field at will. They got a touchdown in the opening possession, but then obviously the Falcons defense did their only, literally only impressive thing the entire game, which was the goal line stand on the Packers' second possession. Because if the Packers score there, it's 14-0, and everybody's turning the game off at that point.
It really, if the the, is it oh god, who's the receiver? The is it the slot receiver that they brought up just recently?
My Packers. Friend?
Yeah, NFL Jesus is running really slow, but he caught the ball on third down and he was like almost in, Shepard.
Oh, Shepard, right. Yeah.
Shepard caught the ball. He was almost in and it looked like he kind of fell in, but they didn't want to challenge it. And so they just ran the ball on fourth down. Like if he, I mean, that should have been a score and the game's a bloodbath. That was like you said, Bruce, that was the Falcons' lone victory was that stop.
They had a fourth down stop early in the game. That sort of felt like the momentum was maybe had.
It was hit on the goal, right?
I know it was in the first quarter. Shepard was like in the second half, I think, wasn't he?
No, it was the first quarter. They got it on.
It was a running play.
On the one, he was ruled down just short of the goal line. They had it on the one. The Packers went for it. I think Jamal Adams ran it and they stuffed him.
Right.
Yeah. And then Atlanta. That's when Atlanta did the long drive, right? Yeah.
Yep, that's right. But that Shepard wasn't involved in that goal line catch. He ran a little out route, right?
Am I crazy, Breach?
Yeah, the Shepard thing came later because the stuff was on a running play, as you pointed out.
The Darius Shepard catch was on the
third down before the stuff of the fourth down.
Right.
Oh, yeah. It was.
They had third and goal at the Falcons' 3-yard line, and Shepard had the quote unquote 3-yard catch. It should have been a touchdown, but really it was only 2 yards and 11 inches.
Gotcha. Right. My bad. All right. Yep.
Down to
right,
11.
On the same page.
Or the one.
Yeah, I mean, the Falcons went punt, field goal, punt, end of half. The field goal was a 20-play, 94-yard, 10-minute drive, which, again, unbelievable. The other three drives were three plays, 4 yards, three plays, 4 yards, three plays, negative 5 yards, three plays, 11 yards. You have Matt Ryan. You have 11 starters who are former first-round picks.
Five of them in the offensive line.
I think that the Bill O'Brien firing, and I tweeted this, I think the Bill O'Brien firing
floodgates
free up the conscience of multiple NFL owners.
Are you hinting that someone in this game might be fired?
I mean, I think Dan Quinn is dead man walking if he didn't win the next four games.
Next four? Well, he's not winning the next four.
We've talked about this. We said this game. Probably not a win. It would be a huge gift if it was, but they have to go like 3-1 or 4-0.
They weren't even competitive.
They've given up more than 30 points in every single game they've played.
All consistency, Breach.
Like, Robert Tonyan looked like the invisible man out there. Like the Falcons weren't allowed to look at him or touch him or see him. He is a huge human being and he's just wandering freely. The Packers didn't have Davante Adams or Alan Lazard.
I agree with all that. And I don't want to make excuses because every team has this issue, but they were down to like the sixth and seventh string. Some players on defense, they had so many guys injured, so many guys out. So part of that is that. Part of that is that their defense has been bad when guys have been healthier. I mean, the Dan Quinn defenses haven't been great the last few years. And I don't want to dispute that, but I feel like this year is maybe worse than ever, at least in part because of the injuries. But yes, Robert Tonyan, I don't care who you are. Shepard, Urban, whoever it is, can't be running wide ass open and with no threat of being covered by anyone on defense.
I don't think they fired Dan Quinn this week, but I
think you give a pretty sure you have the schedule in front of you because the next four games are quote unquote
the Panthers, the Vikings, the Lions, and the Panthers. That's your next four games.
The funny thing is now, 2 weeks into, we had this conversation probably 2 weeks ago, the Panthers are going to be a much tougher test.
Yes.
So, you know, those aren't two gimmies. In fact, The Panthers might be looking at you as two gimmies if you're the Falcons.
I think if you get swept by the Panthers and you go through the next four games at 1-3 or 0-4, I think he gets fired.
Who do you think needs to win
the Vikings? So it's Panthers.
Hold on. Who do you think needs to win the Falcons Lions game more? Which coach?
Dan Quinn.
You think so?
Wait, what do the Lions do between now and then?
Look, Dan Quinn's bye is week 10. The Falcons are 0-4. They have the Panthers, Vikings at Minnesota, Lions at home, at Panthers, and Broncos at home. What does his record need to be going into a week 10 bye to not be fired?
How many more games until the bye? I'm sorry.
Five games.
He has to go.
He needs two wins.
No.
Two wins?
He has to go four and one.
I think so too. I think 4-1.
Two wins. Are you crazy?
You think
that's 2-3 in the next five?
It's a terrible teams.
You think 2-7? Like, all right, Dan, figure it out. Good luck.
Way to go.
Yeah, it's like here's a sticker, Dan.
Take the week off on the bye week. Have a good time. And when you get back, we'll see what happens. See if you win two more games in the second half of the season.
I think Arthur Blank has my feeling with Arthur. I tell you, Arthur Blank does not want to fire him in season. But if he wins, if he is 2-7,
that was your theory about every owner in the entire NFL 24 hours ago.
Arthur Blank, friend of the podcast, by the way.
We know.
I'm just saying he doesn't want to fire him in season, but I do think that he will fire him in week 10 if they are 2-7 or probably, I think 4-5, he keeps his job because you're still alive in the playoffs at 4-5.
He has got to win those five games. Two, I mean, I don't know what Breach is talking about with that two win nonsense.
Well, I actually agree with Brinson's school of thought. I don't think Arthur Blank wants to fire anyone in the middle of the season. And I think he's got to do the bare minimum to save his job. I think two wins will do it. And I think
Breach, if you play the Panthers twice, the Vikings, the Lions, and the Broncos, I believe those teams are a combined.
Who all have a better record than you.
Well, you're 0-4. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm saying if you go 2-3 in those games and you're 2-7 going to the bye,
that ain't gonna work.
You're not going to the playoffs. You have the Saints twice after the bye. You're the Raiders, the Chargers, the Buccaneers twice after the bye. And oh, by the way, you know who's sandwiched in between your Bucs games? The Chiefs.
I mean, this is the team that beat the Saints and the 49ers during the second half of the season last year.
Did they go to the playoffs?
They also kept Dan Quinn.
Quinn bot 3.7.
I know. You got traded to the Falcons.
Are you kidding me? You think I'm a Quinn bot? Because I think
you're like, I gotta get out of this.
If he's 0-9, he's gonna get let go. If he's 1-8, he's gonna let go. I think 2-9 is the sweet spot. Maybe 3.
This is a Quinn bot. This is a Bengals fan who's just desperate for anything looking like a victory. Oh, two wins, I'll take it.
Their schedule is so tough after the bye.
That's right.
Raiders, Saints, Chargers, Buccaneers, Chiefs, Buccaneers.
So, Breach, if you can't win two games, you only win two games over this cheese puff schedule coming up. There's no way you're going to win any more games after the break.
Falcons are a second half team, Ryan. Get with the program.
Okay. I want to hear that pep talk to Arthur Blank by
Dan. I think he has to win 4 or 5 games.
Yes.
He's blown 2 15-point fourth quarter leads in the first
quarter. That's not ideal.
Not great.
Got embarrassed in Green Bay. I mean, Matt Ryan.
He didn't get embarrassed in Green Bay just because they've blown so many. Like, if he loses to the Bears after giving up 22 points, it's less embarrassing to go to lose in Lambeau Field.
I'd rather lose the way you lost to the Bears or the Cowboys than to lose like that in Green Bay. Like, they weren't.
That was the fewest points the Packers scored all season, Brinson.
They only had to score 30.
I'm just saying.
That game was never in doubt.
I think the scariest part of that game for the Packers is when Aaron Rodgers slipped and looked like he almost broke his leg.
Absolutely.
And if I'm Matt LaFleur, who I would imagine is taking a hands-off, let Aaron be Aaron approach just so he doesn't upset the world's best player, is like, just don't take the hits. Just throw the ball away.
Might you not call a Aaron Rodgers scramble play the three plays later when he ran and dove down trying to get a first down?
Oh, yeah. I guess to prove that his leg was okay, which is great news. But,
yeah. It's good that he's not hurt. He's playing great football.
Is Jordan Love the number two? We're
bearing the lead here. I mean, Rodgers went
7 of 33
for 327 yards and 4 touchdowns. Is there any chance, as I teased 20 minutes ago, that Aaron Rodgers is ahead of Josh Allen or Russell Wilson for the MVP?
I would imagine that the the voters voted now, Aaron Rodgers would get a pretty good share of the votes.
Why would they vote after 4 weeks?
Well, come on, Ryan. I'm just kidding.
I know.
We always say if the playoffs ended today, so if the voting ended today. that's the most breach dunk ever. Why am I just saying that?
Oh, actually, you know what? It is relevant because we're doing quarter season awards with Brady Quinn.
Oh, you just dunked on yourself, Breach.
What?
Yeah, I would imagine he would get. Let's see. So if we're doing the breakdown for Wilson, Josh Allen, and Aaron Rodgers, I would say Wilson gets 60% of the vote and maybe.
So you got 50 votes. How many does Wilson get?
60% of that.
30 of them?
Yeah, that's right. Good math. And then what's left? So 25 and 15? 25 for Aaron Rodgers, 15 for Josh Allen? Maybe.
So you think Rodgers is leapfrogged Allen?
Yeah. I don't know if you
think. That's fine.
Yeah. 25, 15, and then 30. 30, 25, 15.
I think Wilson wins it hands down, though.
For sure. I agree. It would be really fascinating if Russell had a great season, the Seahawks won 12 games, but didn't win the division. Let's say they win 10 games and don't win the division. The Packers steamroll everybody, and Rodgers is great, and the Bills up in the Patriots. Like, it would be a hot take factory on who would win the MVP because people are fascinated by, like, the new guy who jumps on the scene in Josh Allen. Russell Wilson, we're going to hear a million times, has never had an MVP vote.
What?
But it would
be. Are you sure? Did you do any research on that?
If Rodgers has played like this over the course of a season before. If he plays like this over the full course of the season, it will be really difficult to deny him the MVP.
No interceptions. Russ has two. One wasn't Russ's fault. The one in the end zone yesterday was, but the one the week before with Greg Olsen obviously wasn't. Has Josh thrown interceptions? I haven't looked at this because I know he hasn't turned the ball over a lot.
He's got one interception.
One. Ooh.
Rodgers is second in NFL touchdown passes. Russell Wilson's first.
Right.
Rodgers is playing awesome.
They're all
Russell Wilson's
great.
Completed 75.2% of his passes. That's an insane number.
Is that higher or lower than Brian Hoyer?
How did Brian Hoyer do tonight?
Not great.
I can't do math. 15 of 24 seems lower than 75.2%. But 75.2%, if he Russell kept that Wilson, up, what that if would Russell Wilson NFL beat, record. That would break the NFL record.
Right. What if he beats the NFL record by like a 1.5 percentage points? Like Drew Brees spends 7 years gradually increasing the record for completion percentage and Russell Wilson craps on it 1 year, like bombing and only throwing deep passes to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett.
Gradually increasing is throwing shorter and shorter checkdowns.
You don't think Drew Brees cares about having every stat on the planet?
Then having Russ just throwing bombs and throwing completions is a complete slap to the face.
And you know Drew Brees hates NC State quarterbacks.
That's funny because when me and Breach are on set with you and Russell Wilson, he said he went to Wisconsin.
Slow.
We heard it. I heard it.
Oh, that's a Dickie V.
I sort of moved away from Dickie V. Harlan. I need to get back to Dickie V.
Yeah, Dickie V.
That second, that little,
It's like he falls down the steps, hits the landing, and then keeps falling down the steps.
Mr.
Dickie V.
Oh, Dickie V.
And real quick, if Russell Wilson did break that record at 75.2%, when Breeze broke it and completed 74% of his passes, his yards per attempt was 8.2. Russell Wilson's is 9.4 right now. Like, that is an absolutely absurdly amazing number.
And he's also going to break, well, stays on pace. He'll break the touchdown record. He could throw 60 touchdowns. So 60 touchdowns. The completion percentage record, and then he throws, I don't know, but he could throw 5 or 6 or 7 interceptions. I don't think it matters. He's a slam dunk MVP.
Rodgers, by the way, is currently at 12-14 in terms of yardage. Teddy Bridgewater right behind Rodgers. Didn't see that coming. I guess I did. 8.7 yards per attempt, 70.5% completion percentage.
I think that Rodgers has an easier schedule. Russ gets 3 of the 4 NFC East teams toward the end of the season, so that is where you can kind of put your stamp on the MVP.
The difference, too, is that the Seahawks defense is abhorrently bad, and the Packers might be like right around average.
Right.
So they snuffed out
the, they snuffed out the Falcons. The Falcons didn't have a comeback in them. And you know, like, even the Giants will find a way to score some, like, the Dolphins were scoring points against the Seahawks. All right. I guess that's the show.
Hip, hip, hooray.
Robert Tanyan. See you tomorrow for the Brady Quinn football show. Make sure to check us out on YouTube, Pick Six Podcast, youtube.com/PickSixPod. And subscribe to John Breach's newsletter. If you listen to the podcast this long, you really like it. So go to cbssports.com/newsletters, click the Pick Six Podcast button, enter your email. It'll be sent to you daily around 2:14 p.m. And we'll have a bunch of stories. And you'll be like, oh, Breach is crazy. I didn't know he ran a puppy gambling ring in college.
That's none of your business. And I didn't get charged for it.
That's all that matters.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.